have that opportunity right now. So we need to be grounded in the truth so that it does not happen. In the wonderful words of life we know right here in this book, right here, that will get us through anything. Get us through anything. So just another happy Sabbath day that we can come together and worship as God's children. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit, or that we allow the Holy Spirit to guide our lives each day. Shall we start with prayer? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, yes, we come together as brothers and sisters to worship Thee, to honor and praise Thy holy name, to thank Thee for Jesus, for the plan of redemption. He is our King, He is our Savior, He is our Redeemer, our Elder Brother, and one day soon we will be able to see Him, Father. We just thank You, Father, for the fulfillment of Your grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His precious name, amen. Going to not tell you anything new today. Probably know everything that I'm saying, going to say. But I thought that this would be a good topic for today. And the separation between man and God. All because of sin. Because of disobedience. In the beginning, at creation, God spoke with Adam and Eve face to face. No separation. But man no longer has that privilege. But one day soon that privilege will be given to us again. To be able to see God, to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ face to face. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you. Isaiah 59:2. And we know that as we read that through the Bible that we see that. But we have the assurance in the world. In Revelation 1:1, and if we would turn to there, Revelation 1:1. Revelation 1:1. Familiar to us all. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him, to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent out and signified it by His angel and His servant John. And that extent of this separation is brought to light here, where we find that man has become four times removed. And then in Numbers 12:6. I know that we know all these things, and I hope that we've all tested these things to find out that they are true. 12:6, and He said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream." And that's the extension, as I said, brought man, four times removed. And then here in Numbers, God's communication now reaches us through His mouthpieces, the prophets. And as we read the prophets of old, and see the prophet that we had today, we know, find out whether it's true or not by going to the Word of God. In all history, listening carefully to these men of God has been vitally important so that we do know that everything is the Bible says and that the men of God says is true. Life and death, has still, put the price on obedience or disobedience. Life for disobedience, death for disobedience. At the time of Noah, the prophet of God, rejection of his message brought destruction to the whole world. Just 8 people made it through. Abraham, the chosen of God, is the father of the faithful. And through him and his faithfulness, men were led to the knowledge of the living God. Moses made a choice that placed him as a leader of Israel in their deliverance from Egypt. This man here spent 40 years of his life, and did things wrong, but yet he was a man of God, a meek man. They prospered in direct proportion to their accepting this message from God and gave it to the world. And the history of God's people is a history of prophets sensitive to direct, admonish, and reveal God's will to man. And we just pray that as the Holy Spirit gives us that in these prophets of old, and the prophets of today, give us this direction, that we allow God's work to work in each one of our lives, not our own will. The times of Christ, the disciples, and later then the primitive church, also had this prophetic gift to give to the world. In the book of Acts, we see many of these things fulfilled in reference to prophets at the church at Antioch. Two of them, Judas and Silas, were prophets of God, of a believer in Acts 21, who had four daughters who prophesied. Anna was a prophetess. It was Miriam, Deborah, and Huldah in Old Testament times. And there was a purpose for these gifts that were given by God. And Paul stated them clearly in Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. If you would turn to there, I'm not going to read them as they are in here or not, but you can look at them there. Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. And these messages were for the perfecting of the saints, to bring unity in the faith, and to protect us from being tossed about by every wind of doctrine. We could have been tossed about with some of these gust winds that we had last night and this morning also. But Paul also stated that this gift will be down through the end of time. And this immediately brings to a problem to us, for not only these were true messengers of God, Christ tells us that there are false ones also. And they're the ones that we have to be aware of. And that's why we need to prove all things through the Lord Jesus Christ and through his word. He stated that they would do great wonders and great signs with the express purpose of deceiving the very elect. Matthew 24, 24. The next question that comes up is of great importance also. How can one know which is the true and which is the counterfeit? It's clear here that also Satan works true to form here with this, counterfeiting every good thing that God has placed for mankind. Everything we know but the second coming. He will not have that opportunity to counterfeit the second coming. It's possible for you and I to know the true messengers and who is the false if we continue to read the word of God. And just because an individual says that he is a messenger of God, we're not to brand him as false. True, we know that Satan has cast reproach on this gift using the word false. And thus it gives discredit to all prophets of God. We need not be deceived. There's many things out there that they're out there trying to deceive us. Even man himself is trying to deceive us. But we know that we don't have to be deceived. God tells us to despise not prophesying, for we run the danger of quenching the spirit when we do. He tells us to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21. Turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And we just pray that we do that, though. And there's four basic tests that are given for our protection. The first test is Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The unbroken unity of the scriptures is a wonderful thing. The testimonies which they give is always in harmony, because we know that it is the Holy Spirit which through the ages has done getting this direct to the messengers of God. The Spirit through the true prophet will never contradict what the past messengers have given to man. The messages of the past are to be used as the yardstick for measurement today. So we know that even though this was written so many centuries ago, it's our yardstick today, and it will be down until Jesus comes. And I just pray that we use this as a yardstick for everything in our lives. And this is the first text here, though. The message of the pastor be used as a yardstick to the law and to the testimony. This is the first test. And an excellent example of that is Jeremiah, especially in chapter 28, when he used this test to meet the counter claims of a false prophet in his day. It is with our diligent study that we need to read that often. This is a manner in which you and I are to apply the test on any modern-day prophet or teacher or messenger. If their message is upheld by the law and the testimony, then we know that we are ready to apply the second test, and that is, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7:20. Therefore by their fruits you shall know them. Very seldom is the life and the influence of the professed messenger completely out of harmony with Scripture. They always have that truth in there, but then they try to get that false in there all the time. And we have to apply this test very carefully. Is the life of the messenger worthy of being God's personal representative? What is the trend of that life? What is the influence of the prophetic life and messages on individuals in the church? And the application of these tests are cumulative. And then the second test can be applied when it meets the first test. Third test that we have is Jeremiah 28:9. If you would turn to there, Jeremiah 28:9. When the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has sent him. And these things the prophets prophesy about and they talk about and predict needs to come to pass. But predicting is not the major work of a prophet, but sometimes it becomes a part of his duties. Our faith today in the Scripture is largely due to the accuracy of many of the prophecies that have been given here and turned down to us through the ages. Jesus as the Messiah to come fulfilled every Old Testament prophecy that was said about him. But even there must be noted that some of God's prophecies are conditional. And you know, one that we usually look to many times is Jonah's message to Nineveh and the city's repentance that they did for them. It does not say that Jonah was a false prophet, but Jonah was a messenger through whom the Lord worked to save the city from destruction. And at that time it worked. They repented of it, and they were not destroyed. But years later, we know that they were. So we know that at that time, Jonah was speaking the truth. Care must be given in the application of this test, and we have to take into consideration all the circumstances involved, as we did with Jonah in the story that's in the Bible about him. And the fourth test is 1 John 4:2, our scripture reading. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And this statement, in its fullest sense, includes all that the Bible teaches about Christ. He is the Word made flesh, John 1. And it's clear that the Word was the creator, the source of life, that he was made flesh through the virgin birth. That the Word lived a sinless life, died an atoning death, was resurrected, and ascended to his Father, where he is now ministers as our high priest, working on behalf of each one of us. And he is coming again. He's coming for his very own, that you and I, his very own, and the others that are out there in the world that are his. And all of this is closely related with his coming in the flesh. To deny any of these teachings is to deny that truly God with us and was made in the form of humanity. He teaches us that the prophetic gift is one that will be present, as I said, right down to the very end of time. In fact, he states it is one of the identifying marks of the remnant church. We've read this time and time again as members of the church, Revelation 12:17. And also in Revelation 19, familiar to us all, his remnant church will be commandment-keeping and commandment-teaching church. And it will have the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. And I hope that this is the very reason that each one of us are Seventh-day Adventists. It's the only church today that measures up to these two points. It is a commandment-keeping church. It has a prophetic gift manifest in its midst. And we are to use these same tests to the life of Ellen White and to her writings. We must not accept any other person's test, but to make our own. And this is what God wants us to do, to prove all things. The genius and the organization of this religious movement that we are in is largely the result of following the instructions given through the messenger of God, Ellen White. There are a lot of people in the church that don't believe in Ellen White, but I do. I believe in all the spirit of prophecy writings. And whether she said it, she saw or whatever, I believe it was given to her, inspired to her by the Holy Spirit. The message that God gave to her was in season, and it came at the right time to meet any given every emergency, you know. And even through many times, the actual writings and the transmission of that message took place weeks before the emergency arrived. Fantastic. Know that only that could come from such a God that we love, to give to this messenger of God something before it even happens. And we just see that so much there. And there are definite elements of this prophecy and these messages, but by and large they fulfill the place of exalting the scripture, calling attention to truth long neglected, impressing and clarifying truths already revealed, and applying them in detail to the life of the reader. Ellen White stated this many times, that her writings were never to take the place of the Bible. The Bible comes first, then the spirit of prophecy. But they continually call us back to a deepening and more fundamental study of the scriptures. And as we read her writings, we need to turn to the scriptures also to prove them all things that she has said to us. We know that the principles of the Bible are for our daily living. We have to live by the word of God. 10 commandments given in there, they're for there for a reason, to show that we are sinners and to lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And only by keeping these commandments can we be children of the living God. Ellen White, her writings, less than 4 grades of education, revealed truths from the Holy Spirit that are being still proved today. And we hear them quite often here in the church, especially in the field of health and nutrition. 50 more years ahead of her time. And why? Simply because she was the messenger of the Lord. Today, the statements of God are as true as they were in Old Testament times. Prosperity and success came to God's people only as they carefully listened to and followed the messenger that sent to them, 2 Chronicles 20:20. And that's what we do. We listen to the messengers of old. We listen to the messengers of today. And when we read the Word of God to prove all things. And that's the lesson today that we have today. That's why Seventh-day Adventists must take all these things to heart. Rejection of the seers of God has always brought tragedy. And we can read that and know as we looked at the past, even in the Seventh-day Adventist church. You know, we just cannot turn our backs on God. Or we know that we are going to be lost. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is God. And in the very near future, the prophet, the messenger, is no longer going to be necessary. Very soon, that veil that is still there will be gone, will be torn down, torn away. Soon the veil of sin will be forever destroyed. And again, we shall be able to communicate with God face to face. All the wonders that we're going to have to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. To live with Him throughout eternity. And as we've been going in our lessons, all the things that happen, the tragedy, the sufferings that we have today, if we look forward to the future, we can know that we have the assurance of eternal life, the assurance of being with the Lord Jesus Christ very soon. There will be no wall of separation between the family of heaven and the family of earth. God wants that. He has set a time for that, and it's going to be very, very soon. And we have difficulties that we have to bear, that, you know, that they can't compare in comparison to the future life once sin is eradicated. The wonderful life that we're going to have with Jesus. The wonderful life that we're going to have with the saints of old, with our families. How we're going to come together knowing our loved ones, we don't know. But God has promised that that's going to happen. We are going to know each other in heaven as we do here. But much, much more, you know. So let us belong to that remnant church. As Ginger mentioned in Sabbath school this morning, the remnant, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. It's carrying God's last warning call to a dying message, to a dying world. And very shortly in May, we will have that opportunity with our evangelistic series. And we need to be ready for that time. That call is for you and I both. We need to step out into the full light of truth. We can't put it off any longer. God invites each of us to make this step of growth, this advancement, what we need in our lives right now, today. We will be blessed for it, and throughout eternity be glad that we let nothing in no way stand in our way of making this step, of being God's representative to the world. And our representatives, as we did, some of us can't go to the world, but most of it right here. This is our community. This is our world. Elmira, Chemung County, and the surrounding areas that we have to reach out for. There's people there that are seeking. Many ways it looks like there isn't any out there, the way the things that are happening, you know. As many of us have said today, the things that are happening here in Elmira alone, you know, a number of years ago, we said it would never happen here. but it has. It's come to our doors, and we need to be ready for it. God is going to give us His strength, and that is all the strength that we need to be His servant.
Amen.
Shall we pray? May the God of peace be with us and help us to live for Him. I pray that our whole being, body, soul, and spirit will be kept blameless by Him until our Lord comes. And yes, Father, we know that the work is almost over. The Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord and Lord, coming in all of His glory, and every eye shall see Him. In Jesus' precious name, amen.